You're listening to another wrestling episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns, featuring your guy, Bully Rye, and PJ Steven, presented by Anchor Podcasts.
That's right, everybody. It's the special crossover bonus episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns. It's your guy, Bully Rye, and we've got both co-hosts of Tap Outs and Touchdowns on the show. Let's first welcome in wrestling show co-host PJ Steven. PJ, how's it going, bud?
I'm doing fantastic. I am totally ready to get into this show. I'm going to take full responsibility that this is my idea. So if it doesn't work, blame Frick. But I'm very excited. Yeah. I'm very excited to be hanging out with Bill here. You know, I'm tired of looking at Frick all the time. So having a new face is fantastic.
Yes. And PJ already called it out. The football show co-host of Tap Outs and Touchdowns, Banker Bill. Bill, welcome to some wrestling talk, man. How
wrestling,
you doing?
Wrestling talk. I prefer not to call it wrestling. It's wrestling.
Yeah. Are you like the coach
from South Park where he's like, this is real wrestling? And it's like the amateur stuff. And the guy's like, sir, if you don't get your gay porn out of my bar, I swear to God.
Maybe something like that.
I love that episode.
That's such a good episode.
Not a TV guy, but yeah, it's not.
Well, basically, in the South Park, the kids, they watch pro wrestling, and then they try out for the wrestling team. They find out that it's not pro wrestling. It's real wrestling, you know, amateur stuff. And they start turning it into like a soap opera kind of thing. The lights come down, and there's a playbill and all that. And
it really does,
like, give off that. It's almost like Trey Parker or Matt Stone, like, watched an episode of, like, WWE and was just like, oh, we got to. You want to?
That's awesome.
They got to writing right there.
I would prefer that to most wrestling, probably. I think.
I guess the episode is great.
Yeah, maybe we'll get on here one night and we'll stream an episode of South Park and we'll watch it and react to it.
It's really brilliant. Like, it's good stuff.
Well, candidly, off the air, we all brainstorm on how to create a conversation with someone who is all about football, like Bill and I are. And all about wrestling, like PJ and I are. So we're going to talk about some former professional football, some former football players who transitioned into the world of pro wrestling, and kind of go through some of what they did in their football career. Maybe our thoughts on why they made the move to professional wrestling, and sort of kind of ask Bill where he thinks they played for, or if he remembers them from their football days. And so on and so forth.
This is kind of news to me. Like, I don't know. You guys gave me about 5 minutes.
Yeah. Five. Like,
hey,
five
this is what
minutes.
We're going to do. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I kind of failed you. And anyway,
you know, the best shows are off the cuff, man.
I agree. Yeah. Let's hit it.
All right, Bill, first name on the list. Do you know the name Bill Goldberg?
Of course.
All right. So
come on.
Now, hang on a second. I know more about wrestling than you know. So I know he also was, I guess, the sponsor or the subject of a monster truck as well. Wasn't there a Goldberg monster truck too?
WCW got into auto sports because they were owned by Ted Turner, and Ted Turner had his hand in everything. So they had a WCW NASCAR car that played not in the it wasn't the Winston Cup, but it was the series below that. And they had a series of monster trucks where they had a Goldberg. Like, was it the Hogan that had the arm on the outside?
Hogan had one. The Giant had one. Goldberg had one. And I want to say Kevin Nash had one, but I could be wrong about that one.
What's funny, Bill, is there was a WCW pay-per-view called Halloween Havoc. It started on the roof where there was a monster truck fight where Hulk Hogan and the Giant, i.e. Paul White, i.e. the Big Show.
Did you ever see Jingle All the Way?
Yes.
He was the Giant. I'm gonna deck your halls, bub. That's
okay.
Giant.
Yeah,
that's
yeah. I know who the big. I do know who the Big Show is.
Okay,
yeah.
There you go. Okay.
So they basically like they had like a, I don't know, it wasn't a game of chicken, but they sort of like they were face to face, and they tried to push each other's truck off the roof of this building. Hogan would eventually throw the Giant off the roof and like kill
kinda
the Giant. Cool. He would
that's
come back.
Cool. But,
yeah, seeing the monster
I
trucks,
would
like,
watch
that's
that,
what
kind maybe.
Of yeah.
Oh my God, it was awful.
It was terrible.
It was so, and then like Giant fell off the roof, and they added it. And they added in like an audio.
Oh no!
Ridiculous.
Yeah. What you may not have known about Bill Goldberg prior to his wrestling career, he spent some time at the University of Georgia. You can see on the screen here, all SEC defensive linemen from 1988 to 1989. He was named to the Junkyard Dog Club for the University of Georgia, which is given to a sort of one of those things you get to earn as far as a team thing goes. In 1987, as from the last stats that I could gather, he had 348 tackles for the University of Georgia. That is good for ninth all time at Georgia. He was an 11th round pick in the 1990 NFL draft, and that was obviously before the expansion, before when they
had 14 rounds, I think.
Exactly. He was drafted 301 overall to the LA Rams. Did not catch on there. Played a little bit with the Atlanta Falcons. He retired from football when he tore. He's gone on record saying he tore his lower abdomen off of his pelvis and forced him to retire from professional football. He's notorious for being the very first player to be cut by the expansion Carolina Panthers.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So wasn't sure about that.
Tore his lower abdomen. Okay.
Yep.
He wasn't all that good at football.
He was all SEC in the late 80s.
There's some good players that were all whatever. I actually know, I have a friend that was the, this is an aside, right? He was the, I believe, MVP of the Rose Bowl and never went to the pros. He played for Wisconsin. His name's Eric Mollick.
And well, it's because he played for Wisconsin and nothing comes out of Wisconsin.
Yeah, he was a co-MVP of the Rose Bowl, yeah. I race with him on iRacing, you know, the thing that I push every week. But I raced with him, and he's a defensive lineman for Wisconsin, but just wasn't big enough to play pro football. But yeah, you can be really good and do really cool things and win awards in college, but you just don't make it to the pros.
You didn't need enough cheese.
Goldberg's dream was to play professional football, and unfortunately, it didn't work out. So he was working out of the gym once, and somebody approached him and said, "We think you'd be a good professional wrestler."
Dude's monstrous. Look at that guy.
Yep, yeah. And this is where PJ takes over. He's going to go through some of the career and pro wrestling of Bill Goldberg.
So how much do you have, you can't really point to him, but those muscles around his neck, what do you have to do like all day long to get those things?
I just told you, eat cheese.
No,
I don't know what kind of workout it is. I mean, obviously, like, you know, that ain't me. But yeah. I assume that it has to do with taking gear and just going up here, because you can feel that pressure right here and
to hide lemons underneath your skin there. That's crazy.
That used to be when I was working out in high school. That's what I wanted to have. I wanted to have those tracks.
I really thought that you were about to be like, when I was working out in high school, I looked like that, and I was going to call you out.
Not even close.
During his NFL rehab, actually, he began powerlifting, and actually he did some mixed martial arts training, which is great. But when you talk about who spotted him, do you know who spotted him in the gym, Frick?
I don't remember the story now.
It's Lex Luger and Sting.
That's right. It was Luger.
Lex Luger has one of the, I mean, he's one of the worst wrestlers with the greatest bodies in pro wrestling. It's insane.
Bill, you know either one of those guys? Go, Lex Luger or Sting?
Yeah, Sting's the clown, and Lex Luger is the. I think I've seen him before, like long hair or something like that.
I can't believe he just called Sting the clown. We're talking about
Sting. He's saying, you know, every little thing she does is magic.
Yes.
Together,
the,
Bill.
The lead singer of the Police. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was not
wearing makeup. That's interesting.
I wore makeup when I performed. And I got over like Rover. He was not a fan of pro wrestling, much like, you know, two Bills go together. He was not a fan of pro wrestling, but he began training at the power plant anyway, which is kind of WCW's developmental gym. Their training center, and he actually really enjoyed it, which you know, he tried it and really enjoyed it. He made his debut September 22nd, 1997 episode of Nitro, where he defeated, do you remember, Frick?
Hugh Morris.
Yeah, who was debut. Yeah, just Hugh so Morris. Hilarious. Hugh Morris. It's very humorous.
Like, yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. Like, is that really this
guy? He was the laughing man.
Yeah, he was called the laughing man. What was his what was his finishing move?
It was laughing matter.
No laughing matter. Yeah, amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Hugh Morris would actually go on to be a trainer at the NXT Center and get fired for harassment, right? And bullying, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's humorous.
That's humorous. You know when you like you hit your elbow and you're like you know. Anyway, so Goldberg, I won't go through his entire career, but Goldberg was famous in wrestling because he had a giant win streak. It was a undefeated streak that lasted from 97 to 98, and where it was finally ended. But he ended up going supposedly, you know, when you don't count house shows or whatever, 160 or no. What was
172.
It? No, not quite.
Are you sure?
He's not the one.
We did a whole episode about Goldberg.
Yeah, yeah,
right. Wasn't he the one that lost in the dark show or whatever it was called?
Yeah, he lost on a dark match.
Yeah.
The week before his television.
Yeah. But it was 161.
161.
Yeah, yeah. And it was WCW Starrcade 98 where he lost to Kevin Nash. But Goldberg was really famous because of that undefeated streak. It had never been done in WCW in a very long time. And it was so rare to see someone just come in, burst through guys, and it was over. Now, when you talk about he wasn't a great football player, in my opinion, he wasn't a great wrestler either. But he had the look, he had the intensity. Just keep the mic away from him and make his matches 3 minutes, and he's good. Now, let me ask you this, Bill. Are there any, you know, football players you could really compare that to where it's like, get him on the field for a few minutes and then get him off because he's gassed?
Wow. Honestly, maybe like William Perry, the refrigerator. Like, he was just a giant fat man.
Who also appeared at a WrestleMania, and I don't remember what WrestleMania. But they put him in the WWF Hall of Fame, the celebrity wing. So, what? Bill, that tracks.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So it's funny you say that.
Pop quiz. Anybody know where he went to college?
Who? Hoover?
No, William the Refrigerator Perry.
Are you going to say South Carolina?
USC.
No.
Oh. Okay.
Both of y'all guessed South Carolina. Actually, Clemson. He was a Clemson football player.
Before they had any good players.
Yeah. Bill, the next name we're going to throw out here to see if you know who it is. Do you know the name Ron Simmons?
No.
Well, this is going to be a treat then. Ron Simmons is a college football Hall of Famer from your rival, Florida State. Wow. I'm actually really excited about getting into this with Bill.
Like a linebacker.
Ron Simmons played, I know he played on the defensive side of the ball. I believe he was a defensive end or linebacker, one or the other. He played at Florida State from 1977 to 1980 under legendary coach Bobby Bowden. His number 50, as you can see on the screen, retired at Florida State. He was named to the Florida State Hall of Fame in 1986. He holds school records for tackles for loss at 44 and forced fumbles with 17. He is second all-time in tackles at Florida State with 483. He was ninth in the Heisman voting in 1979.
So this guy was a monster.
He was a consensus All-American in both 1979 and 1980. He was named to the College Football Hall of Fame in 2008. He was drafted by the Cleveland Browns in the sixth round of the NFL draft, played for the Browns in 1981 and 82. But did not have much of a football career, Bill. But this guy, he was well respected, very, very successful.
Just by those statistics, that's impressive.
Yeah, and it's what's even more entertaining is that he was the first ever African American world champion when it comes to professional wrestling. PJ, this is where you take it away. Ron Simmons and his wrestling career, he didn't really pan out in WWE. Now he had a very successful tag team career in WWE, had some decent storylines, but he made it big in his time in World Championship Wrestling with Tony Atlas, who I'm not sure if you've ever heard of either, and eventually as the first world champion. So PJ, take it away and talk about Ron Simmons in professional wrestling.
Yeah, Ron Simmons is definitely one of my favorites. When you talk about tag team success too, I want to mention the tag team Doom that he was in with him and Butch Reed, really talented African American wrestler.
Should we sort of preface this with that at this time in professional wrestling, it was pretty unheard of for Black African-American wrestlers to really go over, and especially as singles wrestlers during this time, PJ?
Yes, and we will get to that. Okay. I want to mention,
what was his wrestling name?
Rod Simmons.
It was Ron Simmons.
Yeah, he had a couple different names. You know, he had a couple different names, but yeah, he was Ron Simmons. But his tag team partner, Butch Reed, I saw in my research, he also played college football at University of Central Missouri and was a star. He attended University of Central Missouri. He played college football. In 1976, he signed as a rookie free agent to the Kansas City Chiefs, but the linebacker was cut before the season. So two football guys coming together and making a very successful tag team was doomed. But let's back up, because in 1986, Ron Simmons joined the Jim Crockett Promotions, which would later, Bill, become WCW around 91, maybe 90. Really nice.
Turner purchased the promotion.
That's what it was. So the rookie Simmons defeated a young Yokozuna. He defeated the Barbarian, but it was a big time in his career on August 7th where he defeated Ivan Koloff in St. Louis. Now I want to talk about that match. Ivan Koloff was a very famous white wrestler, and this was done in St. Louis, Missouri, where not the nicest people are that are our three complexions. And he was booed out of the building. He was thrown trash, everything in the ring. He was called every name under the sun that I won't mention here. And I will give it to Jim Crockett, because instead of folding back and saying this isn't going to work, he pushed ahead and said, Ron Simmons is fantastic. He's a great wrestler, and we're going to keep pushing him. My question, Bill, is do you think, and I know, I know wrestling is a fake sport, but do you think that Ron Simmons, his football career, had anything to do with Jim Crockett's, knowing absolutely nothing, do you think that his football accolades had Jim Crockett a little convinced that, like, man, if he can do that, man, he could definitely do this. Let's keep pushing. You think so?
I would say yes. I mean, just the athlete that this guy clearly was coming out of college. It's interesting that he didn't have any kind of pro football career or you know, much to speak of. I mean, you were talking about the amount of stats and things that he amassed when he was a college player. But yeah, I would say definitely. Plus the gap in the teeth. I mean, he's Michael Strahan before Michael Strahan. Look at that thing right there. Like, beautiful, right?
As he would say, damn.
Clearly the dude was a beast. I mean, let's just look at him.
Let's talk about that guy. Let's talk a little bit more about his, we got a lot to get to here, but I want to talk about, yes, he did defeat, actually, someone that we're going to talk about later. He defeated Big Van Vader to win his first NWA heavyweight championship. And yes, that is the first time an African-American won the...
What year was this?
World title.
1992.
92 was the first time an African-American...
First ever African-American world champion of world championship wrestling.
Wrestling has always been pretty racist, and I'm not going to pretend that it's not.
I don't mean to laugh, but how do you?
That's terrible. I thought you were going to say like 79, and I go, all right, it was a little bit behind, but 92.
So matter of fact, later in the 90s, and the other promotion that Ron Simmons would become a star in, not for winning world titles, but one of his most infamous rivalries was a guy named Ahmed Johnson. That was his wrestling name. And as I believe it was 1996 or 1997, Ahmed Johnson, again, this is 96, it was the Worldwide Wrestling Federation, WWF, that Vince McMahon Sr. ran. Ahmed Johnson was the first African-American Intercontinental Champion. And this was in the late 90s. It goes to show how sort of behind the times pro wrestling was when it came to African-American talent. And Ron Simmons... he's a WWE Hall of Famer. I'm sure PJ was going to get to that. But he was a trailblazer for Black wrestlers because of what he was able to do and how he was able to succeed in a world that hadn't really been, achieved. So that sort of sex wasn't achieved. Yeah.
I have a question regarding that. In wrestling, did it feel like there was something accomplished at that time as wrestling fans? Did you guys, I don't know if that makes you racist or not. You're like, oh, you know, but... did it feel like they had gone somewhere? Like there was like he definitely at that time, did they celebrate him as a pioneer or is it just that they did do that?
Absolutely. Okay. And I will also say that I felt, you know, you could feel the same way about Ron Simmons, the same you felt at WrestleMania 35 when Kofi Kingston defeated Daniel Bryan to win the WWE champion. You know, the first African-American to win the belt in a very long time. And it was really, you really felt like you're, you know, because let's not pretend that these black wrestlers are not not oppressed in some sort of way. And whether it's the media or whether it's pro wrestling, I mean, do we want to talk about, you don't have time, but do we want to talk about WrestleMania 19 with Booker T and Triple H cutting promos like someone with your nappy hair doesn't get to be champion.
Well,
people don't need to be champion. I mean,
Bill,
you know,
DX did an entire segment in blackface.
Well, in that defense, it was just X-Pac, but yes, it was terrible.
No, Road Dogg was in blackface too.
Oh, that's right, because he was D'Lo Brown. Was D'Lo Brown. God.
God, so, this was late 90s, 1998.
We'll talk about that off the air because it's insane. Yeah.
Hold on, real quick.
It was a different world back then, though.
To further answer your question, Bill, a lot of black wrestlers that become a world champion, guys like Booker T, guys like Kofi Kingston, they all go back because, again, when you're, it's sort of like, you know, people that watch movies, like, I want to feel represented, right? Black wrestler, this was their first time that they felt represented. Like, if Ron Simmons can win the world title, and this is what I love to watch on TV, this is what I want to do with my life. If Ron Simmons can become world champion, then I can work hard and I can world champion.
Yeah,
and so it was such a big deal, and it was very, very big inspiration for a lot of wrestlers that would come in years to come.
And that's how I feel about Bianca Belair as well. One of the coolest videos is that young black fan, she's maybe 8 or 9. And she points at Bianca Belair with the title and says, she looks like me. And it's like, damn, that's so powerful. I love it. I want to mention one more thing about Ron Simmons, then we're going to move on here. You know, one of my favorite topics to talk about is New Japan Pro Wrestling, which is the premier Japanese.
Well, I know. I've listened. Promotion. Yep, I got you.
Yeah. There you go.
Well-versed. So, I mean, you are well-versed.
When January and February of 95, Ron Simmons actually wrestled in Japan, part of the Fighting Spirit Tour. He wrestled Flying Scorpio. He wrestled Steve Austin, Scott Norton, Mike Enos, Arn Anderson. And then after that, he was actually going to retire, and he actually became a warehouse manager of Coca-Cola in Atlanta, Georgia. And in 96, he was bored and went back to wrestling. So
yeah, he would go to WWE. He would go by the name Farouk, F-A-R-O-O-Q.
I feel like
they originally... They originally gave him this gimmick with a stupid gladiator gimmick
with a gladiator
helmet.
Yeah.
And eventually they would give him a stable called the Nation of Domination that had a couple of of different iterations. One with a couple of guys that we've been talking about on the throwback episodes with Crush and Savio Vega. And then eventually, because what else are you going to do in the racist world of pro wrestling but make a faction and give them sort of a black power storyline? So it was Farouk, Kama Mustafa, D'Lo Brown, and none other than Dwayne The Rock Johnson joined the Nation of Domination. And they sort of they feuded with the likes of the Hart Foundation, with D-Generation X, and so on and so forth.
Steve Austin.
Stone Cold Steve Austin. Again, different members here and there, different iterations of the Nation of Domination. Eventually, Farouk would go on to become a multi-time tag team champion with fellow Hall of Famer John Bradshaw Layfield, or JBL, as part of the APA, where they were like bodyguards. It was some of the coolest stuff you'd see on TV. They would sit and like, they have this fake door that you'd have to open up. People would come and pay them to sort of go beat up their opponents before matches and after matches. They would sit there. They were smoking cigars, drinking beer, and playing poker and behind the scenes.
Ron Simmons has gone on record and said that some of his best times in wrestling was with Bradshaw doing those little vignettes. But when he talks about the fake door, you have to picture there's things you can go around the door, but people would go around and he'd be like, no, knock on the door. So he'd come back to
make him knock on the door and open it up.
It was beautiful.
It's high class comedy. All right. We're going a little late. So we're kind of push through some of these because they didn't have great football careers.
Faster. No, I'm kidding.
Bill, do you know the name Lietti Joseph? Help me out here, PJ. Anoa'i.
If you can't say it, how am I going to know it? I don't think
Joseph Anoa'i.
No.
His real his wrestling name is Roman Reigns. Does that ring a bell?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Okay.
He played football?
Yeah. Pop quiz. Do you know what college he played football at?
Washington.
No. He actually played for Georgia Tech.
I was so close.
So close. Just, you know, opposite sides of the country.
Well,
he was a teammate.
He grew up in Pensacola, didn't he?
I believe so. Yeah, all the Anoa'i family did. Was a college teammate of none other than Calvin Johnson.
I could have called that.
Played in 2003 to 2006. He had 108 tackles, 12 sacks. He was a 2006 All-ACC first team with 40 tackles, 2 fumble recoveries, and 4.5 sacks.
I think I'm seeing the trend here, Ryan.
He did not get drafted, but he did play. He did have training camp with both the Minnesota Vikings and the Jacksonville Jaguars. But as well as a lot of the Anoa'i family did, he went into professional wrestling. PG, I'm not sure if we need to go into a whole lot of his wrestling accolades.
Look at this guy. One of the most. Dude too.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, listen, women love Roman Reigns.
Do they?
Yeah.
I can see it.
PG, is there anything like Roman Reigns is on the top of the wrestling world? He's the longest reigning champion of the last 50 years, close to 50 years in professional wrestling. Yeah. He has been champion. So he left in 2020 because he was diagnosed with leukemia. Left wrestling, came back when he was in remission, and when COVID hit, he was forced to leave because of his compromised immune system. Sure. He came back in the fall of 2020, would win the WWE Championship, and he has not lost it since.
Has he wrestled for a championship bout since then?
Oh yeah,
yeah. PJ, you want to take this over? He's defended his belt. I won't speak too much on Roman Reigns, but what I will say is he was very much hated by the fans because he was bland, didn't quite have it's like he had a glass ceiling that he just couldn't bust through. And then eventually the stars aligned, they put him with the right people, and the bloodline, which is the current storyline that's going on between Roman Reigns and a lot of the family,
his actual real life blood family,
is one of the hottest storylines of all time. Now, I know when I say things like storylines, Bill, your head automatically goes to just TV show. What I will say is because it's a TV show. This is a lot of shoots, which in pro wrestling terms means, you know, hits that fine line between real and not real, because this is his real family. And they do these practices like his old ancestors and family do, like the Wild Samoans, an older tag team.
I think we should sort of back up for just a second. The Anoa'i family goes back decades. It is a professional wrestling family. We talk about the McMahons running WWE for as long as they have, going from generation to generation.
The Harts.
The Anoa'i family goes back to like the 70s with High Chief Peter Maivia, who is the grandfather of The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. His son-in-law, Rocky Johnson, the father of The Rock, was also a very talented and well-known professional wrestler in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
Then you've got the lineage of wrestlers that have you know, come out in the last 20 to 30 years, the likes of a very well-known former WWE champion, Yokozuna, Umaga.
The Tonka Kid, Umaga, Yokozuna.
Rikishi. I mean, the list goes on.
They're all related.
They're all in the same blood family. And it's like the family business. One after the other, somebody breaks into the business and they have a successful career. Rikishi had a couple of different gimmicks. He was one of the head shrinkers. He was, I believe, the Sultan or the remember his other character.
He was the Sultan.
He would be Rikishi Fatu, and then it would just shorten to Rikishi. Rikishi is the father of both Jimmy and Jay the Usos, as well as Solo Sikoa. All three heavily involved in the bloodline storyline with Roman Reigns right now. They're all related. So
that's my point, that this is a really a shoot because they, you know, they really bring in some of their family stuff. And it's really fun to watch. And I got to admit, I was not a fan of Roman Reigns at all. I didn't really like him. I thought it was very boring. And I will go to admit that this storyline is super, super entertaining. I'm loving it, except for, you know, the SummerSlam stuff. But we talked about that, you know, off air when we talked about that on our SummerSlam episode, that I thought it was lazy. But, you know, every storyline has that part where you roll your eye. I mean, everything in wrestling, everything in life, really, entertainment, you have that one thing that you roll your eyes at. And if that's the one thing that you roll your eyes at with the Bloodline family, I think it's doing a pretty damn good job. So,
well, Bill, we're going to move on. We've got a couple more guys to get to, and we're not going to spend a lot of time. This is one of PJ Stevens' favorite wrestlers, favorite big men of all time. If I said the name Leon White, would you recognize that name?
No.
He played football at the University of Colorado in 1977, or at least he played during the late 70s. Wrestling name Vader. Leon White was second team All-American guard in 1977. He was a third round pick by the LA Rams as a center, but similar to that of Goldberg, injury cost Leon White his football career. A ruptured patella tendon ended his career, and he decided to go to the world of professional wrestling as a character called Vader. Again, I don't want to go too far into it because we got a lot to get to in that match.
I'm sorry. That makes me laugh. That picture is not right.
It's fantastic. He's
not right.
He was a great wrestler. PJ can attest to it. He had a great career both in Japan and in the States.
If you knew nothing and I dressed up like, if you knew nothing about me at all and I dressed up like that and said, I'm a pro wrestler, and you didn't know Vader or anything like that, and you show that to your grandkids, they would all piss themselves laughing. I'm sorry.
That's fantastic.
That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous.
Then you would show you being a 400-pound dude doing a backflip off a top rope. And
I mean, I guess that's fantastic, but I mean, that is the worst Halloween costume gone wrong.
Well, what's funny, Bill, is I have wanted to dress up as Vader for Halloween for like...
Oh, please don't. I won't let you in a house that I'm at. I was like, what is that?
No candy.
Listen, your daughter's the one having the Halloween part. Well, are you hosting? It doesn't matter. I think PJ's got a mask. PJ's going to mail me the mask. I'm going to find the rest of the get up. I'm going to dress up as Vader for Halloween. I've got the body type for it.
How did they come up with that? That looks like a jock strap that somebody cut the center out of and put it on his head. Like
Vader was notorious for not cleaning his gear, too.
The mastodon.
Why? What did they, like, this is what we're going to put you in.
Oh, dude, there's been a lot of costumes that, you know.
I dig, like, the luchador masks. Those are kind of cool from, like, Mexico and stuff.
See, this is what he used to wear in Japan and early WCW.
He's going to pull it up. While he's doing that, Bill, I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves.
That's kind of cool. I'll give you that one.
His WCW gear, he'd come out and he would take that off.
That's ridiculous.
It's fantastic.
He's got his underwear on his head. Like, come on.
Oh, no. That's one of my favorite masks of all time.
So it's barely a mask. It looks like what my underwear looks like after 10 years of wearing. They're just holes. Just shove it over your head.
So that's why they used to call him the Mastodon, and he used to come out and shoot flames and all that. Cool, but getting into Vader a little bit here, I know his career by heart. He is, one of the best big man of pro wrestling. He can move. He can move better than some of the younger guys today. Obviously not now. He passed away. I was very sad about that. But at the time, man, he could move. Again, he was working out at the gym and was trained by Brad Riggins. One of his first big matches was against Stan Hansen, another big bastard of a wrestler, for the AWA World Heavyweight Champion. I won't go on too much, but he was a legend in New Japan Pro Wrestling. He was, I mean, pro, you know, New Japan, they love the bigger guys. They kind of worship them. That's their idols.
Like sumo and style.
Yes, very much so. So
Vader's notorious for working stiff. And New Japan, they call it strong style for a reason, because they would go and beat the crap out of each other. Matter of fact, there's a wrestler named Mick Foley who infamously lost half of his ear in a match with Vader.
What was his other name?
It was Mankind.
Mankind, that's right.
Mankind, he's like Dude Love, like Cactus Jack. No, you're thinking Kane. Glenn Jacobs is the mayor of Knox, Tennessee.
Are you sure Foley isn't a politician somewhere?
Foley is not a politician.
Mick Foley was Man of the Year 1 year.
But I don't know if that was politically.
I remember Mankind, though. Yeah.
That's Kane.
That's the guy.
He's
the guy that is now the mayor.
Had a leather mask too, right?
Yeah, he did.
I have that somewhere over here too. No, I'm just kidding. But I will say, I hope
he doesn't pull out something that's not appropriate for, like, I got not over here too. Oh, sorry.
I got Mankind over there. I can't pull it though because there's a lot over there.
We also mentioned Ron Simmons won the world title. He defeated Vader for that world title.
And Vader was very happy to put him over, which is fun. Yeah, I want to talk about – you talk about Vader being a strong dude. He actually had his eyeball popped out of a match with Stan Hansen and popped it back in the middle of the match. So when you say that – when you say that wrestling is totally scripted as it is, but nobody scripts to get their eyeball poked out.
Right. How does that make you feel, Bill, to know that a wrestler had the eye popped out of the socket in the middle of the match, he popped it back in and finished the match? What kind of reaction do you have to something like that?
I hope he's getting paid a lot. I've never doubted that these guys are physical specimens or that they take a beating. I mean, I know I've heard of the injuries that some of these wrestlers clearly that who died? Was Owen Hart? Is that who fell out?
Owen Hart fell 70 feet.
Yeah, yeah. 70 clearly, stories, rather. That was a mistake. But I mean, clearly they're doing things that they probably shouldn't be doing at times, and you know, jumping off of rings onto tables. Like, I don't want to do that. That sounds horrible. But
I would love to in a heartbeat. Just
you
once.
Go to Buffalo,
tables don't really hurt. They just
I've fallen through a table before. It's not that bad. Yeah. It's the concrete underneath.
I'm just saying, like,
hurt.
They get hit with bells and chairs and all kinds of crazy stuff, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. You know, a lot of these guys, they had bad injuries in football, Bill. Why do you think they went to pro wrestling where it was like, because what?
They're athletes. I mean, they're just athletes. I think just strong dudes that are athletes. And
Michael Jordan retired from basketball and for some reason went to baseball because he thought he could do that. Why didn't he go to pro wrestling?
No, he was never big enough. And I think you got to have a personality as well, right? I mean, to get into pro wrestling, there's a whole lot of theatrics that you have to put up with. I think some of these guys, if they were to try to do it, like you said, you weren't a fan of Roman Reigns. It's probably because he was Ryan said he was pretty bland, like he's boring, right?
Yeah.
So that makes you not very excited. So I think a lot of these guys have to have the personalities as well. So the dude was probably being like a, you know, a loud guy or maybe just a really friendly, who knows, something in the gym. But whoever was picking these guys, I think would say like, oh, he did this in the gym and I thought maybe I could give him a shot. And then when they did it with him, he was good, right? Like they enjoyed the way they know something. I know that there's a profession. I'm not that naive about wrestling, right? I know that there's a profession that you have to be good at. What do they call it? Working?
Yeah, it's working. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So usually I'll say, like, is he working him? Is he, you know, who's working?
Exactly. Yeah. So I know that they have to be that. So I know that there's a way that you have to get into it and then they, you know, like teach you how to do it and you're either good or you're not. And then the guys that aren't good, like, stay, you know, in the regional circuits and they never make it up to the big ones. I do know a little bit about that. There's almost like a farm system.
Do you think that there's more pressure? Let me ask you this. Do you think that winning and losing is more pressure on an athlete or the fact that you have to look your 100% every time because you're on camera? Is that a bigger pressure? Because winning and losing
is predetermined, right?
No. I'm saying
it's talking about like in football. Is there more pressure for football players to win on the field versus having to look like $1 million every time you go on TV in front of a crowd?
I think winning and losing is probably a tremendous amount of pressure. Depending on what your role is. I mean, an offensive lineman is different than a quarterback versus a wide receiver. Like, it's all different. You know, that's in football, right? I mean, it just depends on what your role is. But
yeah,
I think it would be very difficult to be a professional wrestler.
But if you're going on that field, you ain't going on there to lose. You're going on there to win.
Right, exactly, yeah. But I think it'd be very difficult to have to bring 100% every time you're on the camera for professional wrestling. Like, you're having a bad day, you're not feeling all that good or whatever, you still got to be like, what's up, brother? You know, and like the whole time, like 100%, 110%.
You got to take a shit in the middle of the match. You got to keep going, man.
You got to go, man.
You know, that is my biggest problem with booking these days, and I talked to Frick about this, is that, you know, wrestlers just can't have a bad day. Right. They can't have that... They're on the mat for the 1, 2, 3. They can't be – exactly. They can't be off. Why did you lose? I had a bad day. I lost 1, 2, 3. That's what I like about New Japan, so I'm not going to get on a tangent here. I know Frick's already signed.
I know we got to move on.
We got
a match to watch, and there's two guys that I'm going to get to that we're going to zip through real quick.
All right, let's go. No. Let's go.
We saw Vader. He looked fantastic with his underwear.
Thaddeus Bullard, does that name ring a bell?
I don't even know who that is. Oh, yes, I do.
He was a national champion of your Florida Gators.
What?
Known in WWE as Titus O'Neil. He played for the Florida Gators, seen here, shaking hands with Peyton Manning after a loss.
He's also wearing the 11.
Yep, he was a linebacker for the University of Florida, defensive lineman wearing the number 11. 1996 through the year 2000, part of Spurrier's 1996 national championship team. Not really much to say because he never went pro in football. When Spurrier coached for South Carolina, WWE went to Columbia. He's got pictures with Spurrier there. He would go on to be a multi-time tag team champion in WWE. He is now the global ambassador.
Can I say something really quick? Can I say something just to interrupt you? That picture you just showed, I was at that game.
That's amazing.
I was at that game. I was actually at that game. That's 1997. That was when I was in school. And my girlfriend worked in the ticket office, and she always used to make sure we got tickets. And I was at that game. They beat him. The safety, I forget his name, number 4, for the Florida Gators, which had a pick 6 against Manning in that game. I was there.
Isn't that amazing?
That's fantastic. But yeah, like I said, he would go and be a WWE superstar by the name Titus O'Neil, global ambassador. So he doesn't wrestle a whole lot now, but he goes and he basically does like mission things for WWE.
He does a lot
of charitable
profit groups in Tampa Bay. In fact, he's helped more than, I think the number was like 245 student athletes across the Tampa Bay area into college. They lead corporate volunteers into reading books to children after school programs. In fact, in Tampa in 2001, in the summer, they named a school after him. So as far as wrestling goes, he was the Florida Championship Wrestling tag team champion with Damian Sandow, who would become the primetime players.
Damian Sandow wasn't primetime players. Darren Young.
Right, but he won the tag team championship.
Oh, won it with Sandow, then he would go.
You're absolutely right. Darren Young, who was one of the first African-American openly gay wrestlers, which is cool. He's wrestling in New Japan now, former New Japan Strong Champion, I believe. I saw him retain that in Charlotte. That was great. But
a quick football spin to this one?
Yeah. Sure.
Please so we do. Saw that he was wearing number 11, right? There's actually a significance to that at Florida. So when you played for Coach Spurrier, the old ball coach, as they called him, the number 11 was given by Spurrier. He had criteria, but like what his favorite players, basically the guys that he liked the most on the team, they got the number 11. So for him,
it was Spurrier's number that was retired, correct?
It was Steve Spurrier's number when he won the Heisman. He was the first Heisman winner for Florida. So it was a big deal for a long time to wear the number 11 in Florida.
PJ, another fun fact, Steve Spurrier was the first person to win the Heisman to give it back to the university. He didn't keep the Heisman.
Oh, that's
and so
cool.
After Spurrier won the Heisman, they started giving 2 trophies, one for the university and one for the actual winner. That's because of Steve Spurrier.
Awesome. That's pretty cool. And I've heard that name. I just didn't know anything about him. But that's really cool. So is the Heisman really like the top tier award in
college? It's the number one award for college football, the highest individual player award.
How do you win it?
You're the best player in college football that season, according to sports writers.
Got it. Got it.
Yeah. I mean, is it
kind of like, I mean, what's sort of unspoken there, Frick? Is it kind of like
College football world champion?
No, is it kind of like Dave Meltzer as a sports writer, as a wrestling writer, giving you enough stars that you win the Heisman?
Because there's actual statistics that go into football games.
Okay.
If you listen tomorrow night, we're going to have a whole Heisman special.
Please listen tomorrow night.
I will listen tomorrow. That's really cool. I will do that. When I hear sports writer, I think opinion, but I get stats. That makes sense. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Statistics,
Bill, the last person we're going to talk about very quickly, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Very infamously played college football. Do you know what school he played for?
University of Miami.
Oh, man. I was going to do something. Well, I'll ask you this. Baker, do you remember who his dad was?
It doesn't
matter who your dad is.
No, it's a Rock gimmick. We got it. You didn't get it. University of Miami, 1990 to 1994. Played with Warren Sapp. 39 games played for the Hurricanes. 77 tackles, 4.25 sacks. I don't know where they got the quarter from. But obviously, The Rock would go on to be one of the greatest world champions and entertainers of all of wrestling. And now he's one of the greatest, like the biggest stars in all the world.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of him. He's pretty awesome.
And the fact that he came out of the University of Miami playing Florida, that was his dream to do. And now co-owner of one of our favorite football leagues, the XFL.
That's right. So, I'm a huge, huge fan of Dwayne Johnson. I mean, the guy's kind of transcended a lot of different things, right? He's transcended wrestling. He's been an actor. Obviously an owner, entrepreneur, like guy's amazing. So he did lose a lot of money this year though, unfortunately.
Well,
yeah, he did. He made enough money in pro wrestling, and we're gonna get into that real quick before we jump into our big match here. He made his debut in 1996 at the Survivor Series. That's something we covered as well, which is great. He made his debut as Rocky Maivia, which is a combination of Rocky Johnson, his father, and Peter Maivia, his grandfather, and that's just so clever. And later on, we were getting in 96, maybe 97. It might have been 90. Yeah, 97, when he wins the Intercontinental Champion. We're hearing things like "Die, Rocky, Die" from the chants, from the fans, because, you know, fans are just very respectful.
Wow.
And, yeah, it's bad. He lost the Intercontinental Champion to Owen Hart in 97, and he suffered a legit knee injury in a match against Mankind in June of 97. We actually talked about that. I'm not going to spoil this too much in case you guys are watching the 97 series, but he does come back and joins a very important faction. We're going to skip ahead. He wins his first WWF champion, Moonsault. He was the nine-time WWF champion. I mean, The Rock is one of those guys that really juggled Hollywood and pro wrestling, I think, the best. He came back when he said he was going to come back. He made a lot of money in Hollywood. He retired probably one of the greatest pro wrestlers of all time, which is Stone Cold Steve Austin at WrestleMania 19 in 2003. He's done philanthropy. I mean, The Rock is really a stand-up dude. I got to ask you, though, guys, we never really talked about this. What's your guys' favorite movie from The Rock?
That's a good question.
Gosh, I don't even know if I have one.
The first movie I remember seeing him star in was the one with him and Johnny Knoxville, where he's like, he comes back and he ends up being the sheriff of the town. It's like a remake.
That's Walking Tall.
Walking Tall.
He had two before that. Now, come on, The Rundown.
The Tooth Theory.
No, the Rundown with Sean William Scott.
And Scorpion King. That's good, yeah.
What was the first one?
The Scorpion King.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, was that his first movie?
It was his first movie. It was like a sequel or prequel to the Mummy movies.
Because he was technically in Mummy Returns, but it was just like CGI and it was bad. But and the Scorpion King wasn't great, but it was okay. WWE pushed it hard. I mean, I'm surprised they didn't have Godsmack perform I Stand Alone live to like end out a Rock match, or even to have him I don't know. But
my favorite movie is the one with him and Kevin Hart, Central Intelligence.
That's my favorite Rock movie. You know what? I'll tell you.
That's goofy, right? That was fun.
Yeah, that was great.
Walking Tall is probably my favorite. I like that one. You know,
Bill, you got one?
Honestly, I just looked up his, like, golly, this man has been in a lot of movies, right?
His SNL was one of the greatest, by the way. He hosted SNL one year.
That was great.
Honestly, this is going to sound horrible because it's so dumb, but I think the most fun that I've watched him probably the two Jumanji movies, because he has to play like the Kevin Hart style. Like, that ended up being really fun because they're like buddies and stuff, and he had to act like him.
I agree with you, Bill. He's a funny guy. He used to cut funny promos. I mean, he started a lot of chants that we still do.
I love the people's eyebrow and like the, can you smell what The Rock is cooking? Like, that was a thing like forever. Like, I didn't really watch wrestling, but like, we all did that, right? Like, can you smell what that was great.
I mean, I don't know. That's probably the last time
I really paid attention to wrestling is when The Rock, I don't think I ever watched him wrestle, but just some of the promos and stuff that he would like do, you know, some of that stuff, like the clips were good.
One of my favorite Rock moments, he was in Charleston and he made Jonathan Coachman do the Charleston. And so he's sitting there doing the Charleston. He's like, turn that way, and kicked him off screen. This has been great talking about professional or former football players. I really loved getting it to know Ron Simmons because of how much of a beast he was to be the pro wrestler that he would eventually come to be. We've reached the main event of this show where the three of us are going to live react.
Oh, I'm so excited.
To a six-man tag team match featuring Panthers legend, NFL Hall of Famer Kevin Green, the Nature Boy Ric Flair, and Rowdy Roddy Piper taking on the NWO team of Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and Six-Pac, better known as X-Pac, or the 1-2-3 Kid. Bill, there was a match that preluded this match that we're not going to force you to watch. It featured Chicago Bears Super Bowl champion Steve Mongo McMichael, who's arguably one of the worst professional wrestlers in the history of wrestling.
Yeah.
Taking on Green Bay Packers legend and New York Jets legend, Reggie White.
What?
Reggie White versus Steve Mongo McMichael.
I just lost respect for Reggie White.
Penultimate match. On this. You know the worst part about it? Reggie White lost the match.
He did.
It was one of the worst matches in WCW history. Because not to mention, every time we watch a show and talk WCW back in the 90s.
They got a massive
paycheck. Oh, yeah. They get,
Reggie didn't
Dennis need Rodman. Dennis Rodman was in a tag team match with him and Hogan versus DDP and Carl Malone in the late 90s.
Do you guys think that there's a possibility, since these guys' playing careers are obviously over and have been over for some time at when they do this, do you feel like they want to like have the grandkids be able to see Grandpa Reggie or whatever do some stuff that's athletic? Like, do you think that's part of the reason they do it?
Well, I didn't need the money, right? I know that goal. In that time in their prime.
I mean, like the one-offs. I know you're not a fan of one-offs, right? I've heard that multiple times. You don't like the one-offs, but
Lawrence Taylor made it into WrestleMania. Yeah,
not like Goldberg, who got into it for as a career. But I mean, Reggie White was arguably the best defensive lineman of all time, right?
Glad you said it. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, arguably, right? Because there are some that are Bruce Smith fantastic. There are other ones, but I mean, he didn't need to do wrestling.
No, a lot of
these guys love wrestling so much that they want to do it.
Yes, that's my point. Now, Karl Malone,
you think it would be fun?
Yeah, Karl Malone was playing basketball, and DDP was at the game, and Karl Malone went up and did the diamond cutter symbol to him, and Diamond Dallas goes, he knows who I am, and they talked, and he said, I'd love to get involved somehow. Dennis Rodman has gone on record and said he was bored and wanted to do pro wrestling, and you had a natural rivalry between Rodman and Malone, and they were like, well, let's put it on the screen. Another shoot, by the way. I mentioned about Goldberg, when you said, like, you know, do you want Uncle Reggie to see, you know, see this? Goldberg came back to wrestling way later on, a couple years ago, because he wanted to wrestle in front of his son. Certain things like that. And a lot of these guys, too, get approached by wrestling to say, hey, we're doing, like LT, for example, for Bam Bam Bigelow at WrestleMania 11? 12?
Lawrence Taylor did it.
Lawrence Taylor main event at WrestleMania with Bam Bam Bigelow.
He probably needed the money.
But they, I only like the way it smells. Okay,
right.
He was approached by WWF and said, "Hey, do you want to come in and do this?" And it was like, "Yeah, absolutely." I mean, a lot. Mike Tyson, big example, love pro wrestling, like. You know, I want to get in there and do something. You know, I can't do a good Tyson impression. Good God. But
I don't think you want to, because if he ever hears this, he's going to come find
me.
Back is broken. Final.
But Bill, I don't know if you remember, Dennis Rodman infamously skipped out on practice during the NBA Finals to be on WCW Monday Nitro. It made sporting news in the late 90s because he blew off practice in the NBA Finals to go wrestle.
I feel like I heard that, yeah.
He wanted to blow off basketball to go play a real sport. And now let's watch a real sport.
So a real fake
sport.
We're going to watch the match in its entirety from the introductions from Michael Buffer to the end of the match. It's probably going to be about 20 minutes. So we've already gone late for the show. So if you want to stick around and listen to us, or if you watch the YouTube channel, it doesn't get taken down. We're gonna watch live react to the match right here on the show. It's going to be about, like I said, about 20 minutes. While I pull this up, PJ, anything you want to fill in? I mean, obviously, Ric Flair at this point had been out of action for about 8 months. Some contractual stuff, some injury stuff. The NWO is, I mean, PJ, fill him in on this story between the WCW and NWO.
By the way, I've had a blast doing this, and thank you guys for, you know,
pretty cool
doing this with me. I had a lot of fun, and I learned a lot, which is what I wanted. So I thought that was really cool. So what I will say is the NWO took off in about 96, Bill, and it was, I mean, the big thing in wrestling at the time, because, you know, different music was taking on, different, you know, everyone was liking the bad guy in the world of entertainment, and WCW wanted to capitalize on that. So the NWO was your main heel faction, and people loved them. Now, they were the newer generation coming in. The older generation, you know, your Ric Flairs, your Dusty Rhodes, your, you know, they were tired of the NWO, so they got their team together to take on the NWO, this big event, Slamboree. We're in Charlotte, North Carolina, Ric Flair's hometown. This is his first match back from his neck injury. One of the reasons I wanted you to see the intros is because of how hot this crowd is for their hero, Ric Flair. Roddy Piper's also on the card. And then, of course, Kevin Green, who is played for the Carolina Panthers. You're in Carolina. He came in because he loved pro wrestling and thought it would be fun. He had a couple matches, but this, to me, is my favorite. A little bit of backstory with me. This is one of the first – I had a VHS tape called The Best of Slamboree. Watched this tape with my dad all the time. So this match means a lot to me because me and him would watch this match over and over. I could call everything that happens in this match. I've seen it so many times. But the reason we picked this one is because, one, you see Kevin Green in action in a really good match. You also see how they will play off the crowd so well, and the match is not bad. And it's just a fun – I wanted to pick this match because not only I didn't want to pick something that was so technically sound for no reason, a 5-star match in the Tokyo Dome kind of thing. I wanted to pick something that was
wrong.
I mean, like, that's great and all, but I wanted to pick something that was just fun. And this is a fun match. So let's get into it.
All right. So we are going to kick off. It'll be the introductions from Michael Buffer. I don't have the volume too up. How's the volume for you, Bill? Can you hear,
quiet,
hear it okay?
Quiet.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to WCW Slamboree.
Is that any better for you?
Of the evening. It's pretty quiet.
I don't want it to be too loud, one, because I want to be able to talk while we're watching it, but I also
be able to hear the crowd, right? Very important.
Well, we got to think, because some people are going to be listening to this on the on the podcast, on the, you know, in their cars.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah.
You can hear the crowd. Yeah. At least I can. Yeah.
Charlotte, North Carolina, are you
I feel like I need to mute this because I don't want Michael Buffer to come sue me, even though we're not the one saying it.
He'll be all right.
Well, he's saying it. I think it's okay.
Yeah, he's saying it. Yeah, it's good. We can't say it.
That's one of the reasons I love WCW main events, because Michael Buffer made it feel like a big match. I mean, no matter what it was.
By the way, the theme music you're hearing.
I did
right
see
now
people react to the explosions. Like, people in the background were like, ah! In today's world, everybody would have, like, run for the exit.
Yeah.
Terrible. Yeah.
They would have been like, another day in America, and run out.
Yeah. Yeah. Out of here.
Bill, this theme music is some of the best theme music to ever come out of pro wrestling. It's the NWO theme.
So you see all the NWO stuff.
Now, I remember the NWO stuff.
You're supposed to hate the heel team, and they were some of the most popular in pro wrestling.
So from left to right, that's Scott Hall. It was Kevin Nash was the tall guy in the middle, and X-Pac, Sean Waltman on the right. Okay. Scott Hall, unfortunately, on the left, he passed away last year.
Quick story with Scott Hall. Frick was the one who ran up to me at WrestleCon and said, "Yo, Scott Hall is right there. He's getting in the elevator." And I said, "Babe, I'll be right back." And I ran to go meet Scott Hall for 2 seconds, and that was amazing.
So X-Pac is still around, right?
Yeah, he's still around. And Kevin Nash is still around
too. Kevin Nash is still around. He has short gray hair now. Looks nothing like this.
He looks like a silver fox. Did you ever watch the Punisher movie 2004 with Thomas Jane? Bill, did you ever see that?
Oh, the Punisher
with Thomas Jane.
Yes, I think I did.
Okay, do you remember the short blonde haired Russian that started beating the hell out of Thomas Jane in his apartment? That was Kevin Nash.
Okay. I mean, that's many years ago.
Yeah.
Look at all these guys in NWO shirts in the crowd, man.
Yeah.
They were.
You know, I love it. My reaction to that, I see guys wearing NWO for life. Little did they know this is just like a short lived thing. Like, sorry, it ended in 91 or 2001.
I still have my NWO shirt that I rock.
Well, I mean, is that for life, though? Are you NWO for life? Because
for life, baby.
Wrestling is. Yeah, nobody has it anymore.
For life. Too sweet.
There it is. That poor kid.
That poor kid. Where's he at now? Here we go.
That's Dusty Rhodes, Bobby the Brain Heenan on commentary.
Somebody threw something in the ring. That's nice.
Yep. Yep.
Here he comes.
One of the best one of the best linebackers to ever play a game of football.
I think he's the best because he wrestled this match.
waiting for this. Good.
Side note, his the first ever football jersey I ever owned was a Carolina Panthers Kevin Green jersey. That's a true story. I went to elementary school.
Comes in with like the jacket on. Did they get it? That's not even like the Panthers. No, they didn't. They wrote Panthers on that. That has nothing to do with the NFL. There's no logo whatsoever because there's no infringement. They couldn't get that. They probably couldn't get NFL's permission.
Well, it says Green 91, and it's
doesn't
blue.
Matter. There's no NFL logo. Not the font
well,
or anything.
Reggie White came out. Reggie White came out in the Green Bay Packers, green and yellow too. Real quick, thanks everybody for staying late.
Roddy Piper on like? Roddy Piper's the other is the third?
Yeah,
dude, I love that guy. That guy was around since I was a kid.
Yep, he wrestled in this match. Yep.
Roddy Piper is my wife's favorite, and so I pointed her out so she could see him. But he is one of my favorites as well. He died way too soon. I love Roddy Piper. But I mean, the crowd's so hot for him right here, man. He looks great too.
He was here to do two things: to chew bubble gum and kick ass. And he's all out of bubble gum.
He was forever out of bubble gum.
He's out of bubble gum. I'm not gonna lie, Roddy Piper.
How handsome he is, man! I swear, that's a handsome man.
He is the primary reason why I like bagpipes.
Yeah.
Oh, other than they're awesome, but yeah.
Well, I like bagpipes.
I didn't know about bagpipes until Roddy Piper.
All right, let's let this moment come in here. Their hometown neck injury just came back. First match. And look at this hair.
Mind you, Ric Flair's in his 40s at this point.
Wearing a dress.
That's a robe, man.
It's a robe.
It's a dress. And it's.
Then what did Piper come out with?
He's got a kilt on.
Or some people may call it a skirt.
That's a man's skirt.
Real men.
All right, I'm into wrestling now. I'm into wrestling. We're good.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, we should have just shown him a bra and panties match.
Yeah, that's what we should have done. Stacy Keibler versus Tori Wilson. That's what we should have
done. I know who both those people are.
There you go. See, it would be perfect. Ric Flair would tell you, this robe is worth more than your entire house is, pal. Woo!
Definitely in shape in his 40s. Give him credit.
Hey, it looks good.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone looks good here. Step for Mongo right there. Yes, it is. Saying that to his wife and kids right there.
You see that knot in his back, Bill?
No, I didn't look at
it. When you see Ric Flair's back again.
His lovely locks is what I was like.
When you, when the next time you see his back, his lower back,
doing this stuff.
You'll see like a tennis ball in his back. That's partially from his one of his couple of plane crashes that he survived.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I did see it there, yeah. Did you say plane crashes?
Yeah, after his latest plane crash that he survived, you'll notice he doesn't fall flat on his back, and he never did for the rest of his career. He sort of falls on one side of his back or the other, like, and falls on a hip. An icon, an all-pro, but he must face three men who are not only fighting him, but fighting for a cause. You see how into it the crowd is, Bill? This is
Pete. I mean, there's a lot on the line here. If the NWO wins,
why does
the
ring seem so small?
It's an 18 by 18, and WWE's 20 by 20.
Wow, look at me with these the optics.
That's a good question, though, man.
That's a good question. WWE had a smaller ring.
Someone that doesn't know wrestling doesn't know.
You see how he didn't fall right there on his
back?
Yeah,
he went to the side. Yeah, yeah.
Match what, 7-8 months? That was all a bad guy.
You're a grown man. Stop it. Ridiculous.
I love it.
That's great. I've got to get that sound. That sound bite.
You're wearing underwear in front of the world, and you're
tights.
Like up there doing
tights.
What happens if he doesn't jump over him there? Do they just trip and fall and it's embarrassing? Like,
it
what?
Looks really bad, yeah.
It's just a botch. Yeah, it's just terrible.
What a chop. One of the best.
There's a reason that, you know, we always say woo after, you know, you hear a chop.
Oh, I'm aware. I know Ric Flair. He was that didn't look good.
Yeah, he caught him good with that kick.
He did. It was stiff. And, you know, let me go on record. Ric Flair was not a fan of any three of these guys. He thought that Nash and Hall were some of the most overrated in the ring. He's quoted as saying that Nash's claim to fame was being big and that Hall's claim to fame was being in a match when Shawn Michaels wrestled a ladder. That's true.
See,
what's your thoughts, Bill? Let's hear it.
Like, what happened that all of a sudden he, like, spins him around and he slams him against the belt buckle, turnbuckle, and he's like, okay, I'm hurt, hit me. Like, that's cheesy. Like, I can't do it.
The momentum of the crowd. And
oh, that's ridiculous. Like, there, that was worse. And he's like, no, I'm going to come back at you. Stop it. Grown men.
Great.
I had to say I want a bigger ring. I like the WWE ring.
Watch this spot here. Watch this spot here. Watch this. So, boom, he goes down. Now, watch this here. Now, watch the spot. I mean, look at this crowd on their feet, man. Some corny shit, and they're loving it.
That's okay. Jump on Flair and watch him grow. What is he saying? He needs a tag here? I'm on my feet. When have they ever played by the rules? All right.
Oh, gosh. Oh, gross.
That was Scott Hall's move. How's that feel? Toothpick.
Oh, that was a booger. Like, it looked like he wiped his nose. Pulls up. Like,
he has a toothpick in his mouth and a toothpick behind his ear at all times, and he chops it at somebody. Oh, here comes Kevin Green, baby. Let's go.
He almost slapped him in the face. What's happening?
I always thought that was a little corny, too.
Yeah.
And even Hall's like, Jesus Christ.
Hall's like, God, what am I supposed to do with this guy?
I'm gonna spit on him.
He just spits on him. Yeah.
All right, the big guy has got the exchange.
I don't know, Frick. Are Nash and Hall one of the most overrated tag teams in WCW?
I don't know about overrated tag teams. I will tell you that there was a lot of times going back and watching Nash's career that it was just that he was big. Scott Hall was a great wrestler.
I agree with Flair about Nash. I do not agree with him with Scott Hall.
It was political because Scott Hall and Kevin Nash were in the ears of Eric Bischoff during this time. And they were sort of vying to get Ric Flair, you know, off the top of the card.
So you're saying there's some truth in what Jim Cornette was saying in that promo?
I'm gonna
that
throw
I
my hip absolutely. Into your midsection. Act like it hurts. I'm gonna make. Come on, man! Can't hurt a Hall of Famer.
How about that football boy? How about that football boy? You're in a real sport now, son.
What? He hits you with his armpit? Like, that's how I fight.
Well, if you don't wear deodorant for a week, that's some psychological warfare.
It's kind of disgusting. I mean,
there was a tag team called the Nasty Boys with Brian Knobbs and Jerry Sags, and one of their moves. Oh,
ooh,
with a big shoulder tackle.
That I like. That was a real
like
hit.
That?
Like, that's
pretty
good.
Yeah. I mean, watch Kevin Green hit the ropes there. I mean, like, he's, you know, not bad.
I mean, yeah, practice, right?
But getting back, the Nasty Boys had a move called the Pit Stop. And they would literally just they get somebody in the corner, and they would literally just like rub their armpit in the guy's face. They were called the Nasty Boys. Like it was part of it.
Boy, how did they?
Yes, give me some of that.
Look at that. Right. Bill's getting into it.
I was hoping we would get a Kevin Green slam.
There you go.
It gets a lot more.
It's a lot more than that. I love it.
Those are some strong men. I'll tell you what. Oh, he just stuck his ass in his face.
He just double clotheslined the NWO.
And the crowd's loving it.
Yep. Crowd is into it, man.
So how did he know they were coming?
Because he turned around.
He just turned around at the right time.
Oh, my teeth. Are they fake, too?
This might be my favorite episode of the show that we've ever done.
Yeah, I don't even care if we're going long. If they don't want to watch it, I don't care. This is for us.
This is for us, man.
All right, guys, what are we going to do? All right, we're going to go in there. We're going to pretend some more. You go in there and show them.
What would you do?
Do some hip thrusts again. Do some hip thrusts and scare them a little bit.
What would you do if tomorrow it came out that the NFL was fixed? Would you still watch it?
Probably not, actually. No, I think I would not. Yeah, I think I would not.
I truly believe that some boxing matches are fixed. Like,
oh,
and
I do too.
And UFC is, like, without a doubt.
Yeah, was it Evander Holyfield and Lennox Lewis ruined boxing?
And by the way, I don't think NFL is fixed at all. I'm not one of those guys. But if it came out, I'd be like, that tracks.
I think there's some. I wouldn't.
Hold on, Frank. Sorry to interrupt you. I love this spot here, by the way. So we get a little bit of some corny shit here, and then we get.
Oh, he's gonna go out.
Fun stuff, right? Fun stuff. Sorry,
he slaps the injury and it's over. Rodney smacks him in the face.
Well, he had gotten a hip replacement at some point in his career.
Yeah.
And so storyline was the NWO kept attacking his hips. And so that's why it's all bandaged up right here. But yeah, no, I was gonna say we're talking about hip replacement, yeah. And he's out here again in his 40s wrestling like this. I was just gonna say I think there's some sort of I think the NBA, it's not fixed, but there's definitely the teams that will get the calls because they want certain teams to be in position.
Yeah, because let me tell you something, and I'll spoil it right now. If somebody was like, hey, we'll give you an extra million if you miss the shot, I will throw it to the crowd. I mean, money talks. Well,
Tim Donaghy Tim Donaghy sort of screwed the NBA for me.
Kind of a
thing.
Tim Donaghy was scandals, yeah.
Yeah, Tim Donaghy was a referee in the NBA. He was betting on games, and so he would call fouls more on the teams that he was betting against. And I mean, it cost the Phoenix Suns a run in the NBA Finals.
Wow,
was that what? And a problem for Rowdy here in the corner.
Yeah.
Oh no, he'll get out of it. Don't worry.
He got out of it. They were fake holding him. Don't worry about it.
How do you fake hold somebody?
I don't know, but why'd they let go? Like, he wasn't going anywhere.
He was fighting his way out of it, man.
Yeah, he's fighting his way out of it.
Oh, swinging neck breaker.
Has it ever actually broken somebody's neck?
Not that, no.
Why do they call it that, like, by the way?
Right to the hip.
You can actually injure a man by kicking the back of his leg now. That's not right.
What a cheap shot.
God, it's in the bill. He's buying it, man. You can really hurt somebody doing that. You better stop
he's
him.
He almost stepped on his. Oh, come on now.
Man, these heels, gosh, they get under my skin.
God, they're such bad guys, man. Somebody
Boo
better do
man.
Something about them.
Boo this man. What is this ref
doing? Replacement, what are we talking about here? And he's got to wiggle over there because the leg is completely junk. In about 5 seconds, he's going to stand up and be like, "I'm all right." And Scott Hall dragging him back at the center of the ring. Now we're going to school. Oh my!
Now we're going to school. He says, "Yeah, that man's been to school, Mr. Hall." Oh, he took too much time there, Bill.
Yep, that's the
leg work. Look, he couldn't walk on it a second ago, but now he's able to shove a 250-pound man.
Well, he did it with his other leg, though. He kicked it with his other leg.
No, he didn't. He kicked him with the bat.
The hot tag
to the Nature Boy.
I forgot Flair grew his hair back out for a while.
Oh, it looks great. Oh, poke to the eye. God, these bad
Hang
guys.
Hang on a second. Let me stand in front of you while you poke me. Wait. Okay, you get the. Oh my God.
Oh, he caught him.
That took a lot of strength.
That looked bad, but
Where's
he caught
his
him.
Hand right? I've never seen that direct flare ever. Between two pillows. How good that injury is, a flare.
We'll see how he's repaired himself. Otherwise known as the buttocks. If he is 100%. The Army calls it $1 million.
Oh, that looks like fun. Okay, what's the ground made out of right there?
That's just cement and a little bit of a pad.
Like
you know, like the pad you put on your
it doesn't look very thick.
The
It's gymnastic padding. It's not wrestling mat padding. It's like you know the pads that you sleep on in daycare? That's about as thick as those pads are.
Yeah. They don't
like we're really – okay, there we go.
We get a wedgie. Let's just take it all. All the moves.
Psychology, you put your foots on the ropes. You're supposed to give you some extra leverage for the – for the pinfall.
The ref just didn't call that. What's this ref doing?
Yeah, what's he doing?
He's terrible.
It's terrible. Awful. Awful.
Bill, initial thoughts, man. I know you made fun of a lot. You've seen some stuff that you like.
I think this is unfair because this is better. I mean, you're talking about some of the best wrestler. I mean, Ric Flair obviously is super famous, right?
Yeah.
Roddy Piper, super famous. Xbox been around a long time. This is like old school, right? This is the stuff I kind of almost watched. Before I realized it was fake.
You had to have known it was fake in 1997.
Not when I was a kid. I mean, probably in 1997. I mean, this is more old school. Like, I watched that new, not to crap on this match or anything. I watched Elenium. Is it Elenium? I don't know what they're called. It was a tag team match, like Germans of some kind.
Imperium.
Imperium. It was the worst thing I've ever seen. Like, it was, I had to turn it off. I actually, because Ryan's my buddy, so I'm like, for Ryan, I'm going to watch some wrestling and see if I can get into this at all. And it was horrific. Like,
I remember you when you told me about that. I wish I could remember who they were wrestling.
My wife was watching and she was like, I am losing respect for you. He's doing this.
I tell you, that's
it was
why
so
you
bad.
Should. You
like
should
she,
watch,
I don't even think she would think this is terrible.
You should watch New Japan. It's better. It's stiffer.
New Japan.
There's
is
no
sort
Gaga.
Of like this.
It's amazing. There's no I cheated on you and now I'm gonna beat you up. It's just hey, our job is to be pro wrestlers and
see,
let's go out
like
there and fight.
Suck. That part right, yeah. Like that looked like it would suck.
That dude's the Bronco Buster. This is gonna be Bill's new favorite move.
Like that's dumb. Guys, explain this to me. What's happening right now?
This is called the Bronco Buster.
It's a humiliation kind of thing. I mean, yeah.
It definitely humiliating.
WWE, when he would go back to WWE as X-Pac, he would continue this move. But eventually, there would be some girls in DX and some girl wrestlers.
I've seen that, actually.
The girls would come and do the Bronco Buster.
The one I saw was a grandma. There was like a grandma.
Oh, it was Mae Young.
Mae Young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was disturbing. I think I saw it when I was eating lunch and I had to put my food down.
You'll never look at a hand again if you continue to watch Mae Young.
Yeah, I can't do it. Oh, car crash!
Kind of a bad spot. Yeah, that didn't go too
that
well.
That was Flair's fault, but he'll probably blame X-Pac.
Yeah, he'll blame Six. Meanwhile, Flair's arm was under the ropes. And
I was just gonna say that. Yeah, arm under the ropes.
That's Randy Anderson, the referee. He should have called that.
He should have been better.
Oh, they did it again.
Maybe that's what they were trying to do.
That's what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
Let's go back to it. We didn't get it done. Let's go back to it. Oh, yeah. See, I see it. They had to make all that crap up in the middle because that.
And so that's a good example, Bill, of calling an audible. Hey, we messed that up. Let's do some gaga and let's do it again.
They were supposed to do the layover with the partial pin because he just got his arm on him type deal and they had messed it up.
So that does happen. You know, I mean. You got to remember, not a lot of this is rehearsed, really. They don't rehearse anything. They just call it in the ring. And they may talk about it beforehand, but no.
Oh, it's the referee.
That's right. Piper.
The referee took a bump.
My God, it's like a car crash.
No, it's the Royal Rumble. Let's go.
Look at that.
Oh, my gosh. That was not fun. Yeah,
he is out. Of all the people, Piper's the one that knocked out Randy Anderson.
Because Piper's unhinged.
I know, like the one good guy in the ring.
Here's Nick Patrick coming. So the guy,
what is Kevin
Nick Patrick is a he's an NWO referee. He's like a bad guy referee.
Not at this point.
This is the cheesy. He would be. Okay, that. Oh, okay. Six Pack just took one.
So we're about to hit the finish
here. Was it Six Pack? Was it Six Pack at the time?
His name was Six. They call him Six Pack. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now right here, we're getting to the finish here. We're about to take it home.
Look at Kevin Green on the outside with Six.
Choking him out.
And now here we go.
Oh, it's the Razor's Edge.
Takes too much time. Here we go. Watch that crowd pop.
Watch the people. Look at the people jumping here, in the front row.
Watch the finish here. Watch the finish.
Oh, we chop block. And the sleeper on Nash.
Here comes six. Got him out. Kevin Green has six.
What's he going to do here? Shoulder. Oh, power slam. Okay.
Here we go.
That probably didn't feel good.
Look at all the arms in the air, Bill.
And Kevin Green gets the pin.
WCW has defeated the NWO.
Oh, baby.
And I guess Nick Patrick was reinstated.
I don't know what his deal was. He was there.
This is the biggest moment in WCW, and you've witnessed it at Slamboree.
And it's just the beginning. It'll mushroom from here. And they play the man's music.
It's also this. If you listen to it, that's also the song that plays before Carolina games, Bill.
There's a woo! Celebration going on.
What? 2001: A Space Odyssey.
That's the South Carolina comes out.
That's
the
a good song. Instead of that terrible windstorm one that they normally play.
Sandstorm. I got a funny story to tell you off the air. They're gonna do that live in the Kentucky game.
So we get the finish here.
Yeah.
You send the crowd home happy. WCW has won. The new guys are down. The legends have won.
Yes.
Bill, if you were to give this match 1 out of 5 stars, or, you know, out of 5 stars, what would you give it?
Besides the cheese, the goofy grown men that are doing weird stuff that they should never do, I would give that a solid. I actually sort of enjoyed that, so I'll give it a 4.
I give it 4 stars too. I think it's really well done. The psychology of the match is there.
That's cool.
It makes sense. You send the fans home happy. It's Flair's first match after a neck injury.
Sweaty Roddy Piper is. Just drenched.
I love this match, and I'm really glad that you enjoyed it, to be honest.
It wasn't
really
terrible.
Really happy. Because it was one of those things, again, broken record. Am I gonna we could have easily been like, dude, let's pick like Ospreay and Omega, like, or Ospreay and Okada, like, you know, in New Japan. But like, it was like, man, I just wanted to have fun. I want to have fun. So I picked that match and love that match. Slamboree 97.
It's not fair. You picked Ric Flair, who obviously came from my time of wrestling, right? So that's,
you know,
and Roddy Piper, also my time of wrestling. And you threw an NFL guy, which I dig. That was a good idea.
You know what I'm hearing, PJ? Yeah. I'm hearing Bill is challenging us to find a match that it doesn't involve Roddy Piper or Ric Flair so that he has to come back on a wrestling show and watch wrestling.
There are, I mean, like I said, there was a time in my life that I did watch wrestling. I watched, no, I can't do it. You can't put Underwear Man on the screen in front of me without me having, good Lord.
I could really punish him and make him watch Vader versus Shawn Michaels in Your House that we reviewed.
Yeah, that's not a bad match.
I watched Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, like Coco Beware, Jake the Snake.
Oh, you know, we could have him Hogan and Warrior Halloween Havoc 98. That match is dog shit.
It was terrible.
I mean, that's when I was.
We could make him watch Randy. We could watch Randy Savage, Ricky Steamboat at WrestleMania 3.
WrestleMania 3?
Yeah. Ricky Steamboat, that's a name.
He was in Greenville for AEW.
He was just on AEW. Yeah. He was a special.
Saw him live.
Doing what?
As a special referee.
Oh, okay.
And he got beat up after the match too. That was fun.
Using a wheelchair, like that guy's old.
It was my mom's favorite wrestler. I actually met
Ricky
Steamboat. I met him at an indie show in Spartanburg. Got a picture with him. Got a picture signed from my mom that's on her mirror in her bedroom. I don't want to talk about it. It was her favorite wrestler, man. Listen, we're going to have to do this again. Maybe not
Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Find me a Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Hello!
USA.
Challenge accepted. We're going to get Bill back on a wrestling show, and we're going to do a crossover. We're not going to go full on into former football players, but maybe we'll just do like a live reaction to some matches with Banker Bill as bonus.
Yeah,
episode.
I had a blast doing this. I learned stuff about football.
It helps to have people that are knowledgeable and like PJ going, watch this. Like, he knows it so well, you know, the match itself. Like, check this out. This is going to be cool.
I mean, you know, like, if set we, up for it. You know what we could do? You know, if you want to watch the clown Sting and Diaper Man, my favorite
match. You
heard
it here, folks.
Yeah. My favorite match of all time. Bar none is Slamboree 94 with Sting and Big Van Vader. And that's all. That was also on that Slamboree VHS tape, and I rewound that match so many times. That's my favorite match of all pro wrestling history. And it would be cool to watch that match, not only to hear your commentary on Diaper Man, but because it really...
It's underwear face. Get it right.
Underwear face.
But to see his ability in the ring and how he can move and how, you know... So biased as I am, I definitely throw that match into the hat. But if you were seriously wanting to do this again, I would love to do it. I had a lot of fun. Yeah. I learned a lot, and I thought it was so fun. I remember when Frick and I talked about this, you know, backstage a little bit. We talked about, like, man, if it doesn't work, we'll just cut it off, and it'll never see the light of day. I would be so upset if this never saw the light of day, because I thought this was so fun.
Like the skeptic on a ghost show, like.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where it's like it could go off the rails. It could be like this is just isn't, you know, we're not having fun. You know, it definitely could have been that. I could have been like, I don't care about the football stuff. I really enjoyed hearing the football stuff. Frick, you know, it could have been one of those things, but I'm so glad that we did this, and I'm so glad it's going to make the air. It went long, but I don't care. Again, it's
I'll watch the wrestling match.
Wrestling.
Listen, I don't know how to end the show. It's the first show that we've done this season without any ads. And when I go to edit this show to put it on the podcast apps, there will be no ads. It is going to go straight through, especially because it's adding another minute and a half in ads to the show. So this will be the first ad-free show of the season. And considering how well it went, I guess we're gonna find a way to do this again. Let me first thank the man bringing in the Vader action figure into his screen. PJ Steven, thanks for having this idea, and thanks for helping to facilitate some really good conversation, man. I appreciate appreciate you being with us.
Yeah, that was tonight. A lot of fun. Loved it. Thank you for having me. Yeah.
Banker Bill, listen, there's always a first time for everything, and with as well as this went, I'm excited about the prospect to do it again. So thank you for joining us on a wrestling oriented show, Banker Bill.
Thank you for the wrestling education this evening.
Let me ask you, what was your favorite part of the match?
Question. Probably the Piper. Actually, the one sequence where he comes out punching right at the beginning.
Yeah.
Where he's like in the corner and just bam, 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 bam. Like, that was cool. I think that was probably my favorite. I think I'm a Piper. I was a Piper fan as a kid. My family's Scottish, so
I love the slap to the thigh and then just the, you know, eyes.
So that was great. Actually good. I like that. Like that part was pretty cool. And I did like the I said it when it happened, the Kevin Green slam of Nash. That was awesome. Like, yeah. I was actually thinking to myself, like, he's not gonna pick that giant man up, and then he's like full on, like, that's pretty good.
Ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate you staying with us for an extra long episode, a crossover episode that's gotta be extra long if it's a crossover. We went almost an hour and a half in the show. So if you stayed through the end, we greatly appreciate it. If you watched it on YouTube, if it didn't get taken down, awesome, because it was some really good interaction that we had. You had to see to be able to appreciate. But wherever it is that you have listened or watched this show, make sure you share it with your friends, because this is one of the highlights of season 5 of Tap Outs and Touchdowns, and it will be going forward one of the highlights. We're gonna do this again. So thanks again, everybody, for joining us on this extra long, extra packed crossover episode. For PJ Steven, for Banker Bill, it's your guy, Bully Rye. We'll see you next time right here on Tap Outs and Touchdowns.